Welcome back to another episode of the 10 Minute Break Podcast. All right, welcome back.
Man, it feels good to be back. It's been a while.
Sorry for the delay, but, you know, wanted to make sure this episode was
up
the
to
highest
par.
Of, yeah, highest of quality.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, episode
only,
7.
Only the best for the 10-minute break.
Only the listeners. Best. So, yeah, we're going to get started, of course, as usual, with Pulse's puns. And then we're going to go straight into...
This Week of Jesuit.
Yep.
Of course.
And then top three.
Albums.
Yep. Yeah, I'm excited for that one because... I just love music.
Yeah, we love music.
Yeah.
And this week we have 3 of the 5 ASCs coming on. You know, just a brief, short little interview talking about their time here and
yeah,
what's it like being an ASC? And
I think it'll be cool to get their point of view.
Right.
Jesuit. So yeah, we got a packed show. So let's get started.
Welcome back to Pulse's Puns.
Good to be with you guys.
Yep.
It's time. Man, nothing like the Easter season to make you want to laugh.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
That's why I did.
Yeah, we've missed your jokes.
Thank you.
Over the break. And yeah, now we're back.
We had a little taste in the open mic night at Jesuit during the big flood.
Yeah, for those that didn't know, during the big flood, hat tip to Mr. Genovese, who started kind of an open mic in the Commons, and different students and faculty members are just dropping jokes. A teaser, Mr. Rogers' joke was awesome, but I'll let him track him down and you find it. It was a great joke. I won't spoil it.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, it's time to get into some Pulse's puns.
Let them rip.
Yeah.
Great. Back at it. I'll start with a very seasonal one, an Easter one. You know, whoever thought that Jesus wasn't going to come back from the dead was gravely mistaken.
Yep.
Get it, grave, empty tomb.
Yes, yeah.
All right, nice. Great.
All right.
He who doesn't laugh, Jeremy Brink. Did you hear about the restaurant on the moon?
No,
great food, no atmosphere, though.
Damn.
Because the moon's not a planet, yeah. So it won't have any atmosphere.
Yes. Good one, yes. Man. Jeremy, good job.
Yes.
Deciphering them.
Yeah.
What do you call 2 monkeys who share an Amazon Prime account?
What's up?
Yeah, what is it?
Prime mates.
That's a good one. All right. Yeah.
Just keeping it modern, one. Keeping it hip, you know. How about this? This is an oldie but a goodie. Take us back to the COVID era. What biblical city was against the mask mandates? Damascus.
Damascus.
Oh,
love that city.
Take the. What, yeah. Have you been there?
No, just a cool name.
Okay, you're like a rug. You're just lying right now.
Yeah.
Hey, look at just that little me. Pun right there.
All the dome.
Come on, Jeremy. You got to stop lying.
Well, you know me.
Living that rug life.
I actually have a joke.
What? Oh, what?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, if our viewers recall from the last episode, Stone Cold Sinead Hamden over here was...
I couldn't come up with a
joke.
Yeah.
When we put him on the spot to have a joke. So.
Oh, I think that's a good one.
I can't wait.
So... Why was the robot tired after his road trip?
I don't know. Why?
Because he had a hard drive.
All right. Well, that will conclude our Pulse's Puns. That's...
Hey, I got Father Pulse.
Yeah, I mean, at least you got one.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh.
Yeah, no.
You're smiling.
Good,
you're smiling. You know you want to laugh.
Dude, I wasn't dying like you
were. That was a good one.
I mean, yeah, sure. I'm proud of you, bro. The fact that you made a joke, it's...
Yeah.
So now you got the ice rink to smile. That's pretty good.
The ice rink.
Yeah. Right.
Skating rink himself.
Boom.
Okay. Well, I think that'll wrap us this week and of laughter.
Yep.
Love it.
So until
next
time.
Keep laughing out there, Jays.
Until next time, viewers.
All right, it's this time for This Week at Jesuit.
All right, we got a packed week, packed month, we could say.
Yeah, because it's been quite a while since we broke down the news.
Right, yeah, yeah. It's the month of April.
Yeah, so let's start off, you know, fourth quarter. We're in the midst of the final quarter of the year. How you feeling, Jeremy?
I'm feeling pretty great, especially because the seniors have just a couple more days left.
Yeah, so I'm very excited. We're going to have a lot of fun as a senior class leading into, you know, final exams on early May. And we'll be done for like, 2 weeks. And I know. Then we come back for the graduation.
We got senior week too last week of April.
I'm really excited for
a couple days of May.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun.
Yeah.
You know, last ride with the crew.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Easter has just passed. What'd you think of it?
I thought it was very spiritual.
Yeah.
You know, Christ the Lord and Savior coming back. You know, give him the 1-2 punch. You know, they thought they killed him once. He's like, yeah, man, no, it's not true. Yeah, no, he came back like gangbusters, just threw down. Well, he didn't really throw down the boulder. They uncovered it and he wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So big guy had to go to hell, you know, get all the people, his homies that were pretty good, brought him back to heaven. They had a little party. He's like, all right, wait, I got to finish something real quick. Came back down and. You know, I guess now would be the time he's doing his ministry after rising back from the dead. And after that, he would, the ascension, going back into heaven. But yeah, that concludes our Lenten season, which, at least for me, and I guess a lot of other Catholics, it's a good time to have a reset. Mm-hmm. You know, you go through the entire year, and you may not pay attention to, like, what you're doing or going to church every time or going to confession. And I personally think Lent's a good time to really reflect back on your year, religious year, and try to correct things.
Yeah, so overall, you had a great Lent.
Oh, yeah, great Lent, great All Easter. Right. Had some good eating during Easter, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. It was a good break.
Oh, yeah.
Much needed break. So, yeah, I'm glad you had a great Easter, and I hope everyone else had a good time and a good Lent. Also, the mission drive concluded.
Right.
So I think they did reach their goal.
They reached well past their
well
goal.
Well past.
Which is really great.
Yeah. They had a lot of stuff going on. Recently, they had the teacher auction. That was also going on a mission drive. So
you auctioned for any teachers?
No, I didn't. But I heard some. There was like going over 200.
200?
Yeah. A lot of people.
What do you even get?
A dinner, a breakfast with like some teachers.
That's it?
Yeah.
For like $200.
Yep, it got up there. So, wow. Yeah, whoever paid it. You know, it's going to a good cost.
It is
going,
yeah, I'm not complaining about the price.
Yeah, but it is, yeah.
It's pretty hefty, yeah.
Pretty hefty. But yeah, they had a cool, like, you know,
Intro during the assembly, right?
Yeah, like with the golf cart.
Oh my God. It was so tough.
With the Top Gun. Theme song.
They had their glasses.
Yeah, that was
hand
tough.
on the roof.
Yeah, that was tough. Mm-hmm. So
it was unexpected too.
Very unexpected.
And that's what I like to see. You know, you want those fun assembly ideas.
Yes.
You know, you want to start the days off right, especially on Mondays and Fridays when we have the whole school together outside. That is definitely the place to do events and things like that. So I hope in the future we'll have more things like that.
Oh no, yeah, I think you know, even though like there might not be any like. Maybe some days, no, not really any exciting announcements. I think there should always be something to wake up students.
Right, something cool like that.
Because, you know, it might be cold outside early in the morning. We're tired.
Monday morning, you just got back from a weekend. You're not really feeling too great.
You need something to lift you up. So I hope they continue stuff like that. And then also the Bazaar Pass. Were you able to go?
No, I was not able to attend. I was out of town. But I heard it was a great success.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people had fun. A lot of food. And
a lot of bazaaring.
A lot of bizarre.
Me and Sanaa were part of the promotional video for it.
Yeah, that was really fun to do.
I think it's still on the Instagram page. So
yeah, that was a very highly acclaimed video too. People really loving that. You know, how bizarre.
Yeah, how bizarre. Yeah. That's our famous lines, by the way.
Yeah.
You know.
You could check it out, you know, somewhere on the website.
We'll be accepting autographs whenever. we're always here at Jesuit.
Always. And then also, I appeared on the news.
Yeah, it wasn't that great.
Oh, no, I think it was amazing. You know, not to be cocky or anything, but I think me and Gary did a great job of...
the worst one this year.
I don't think so.
That's what people have been saying.
Not from, like, what I've heard. From all the teachers and other students. Even Mr. Flores himself. said that we
it's like
did a, had a great job.
It's like you pass in the halls and everyone's like, oh, look, it's that newscast. You know, remember how horrible he was? And I was like, guys, don't say that. Don't say that about my Sinan. I try to stand up for you, but you know, I can't help the crowds when they're.
It's okay, Jeremy. You know, maybe next week you'll be on the news. I don't know. You know, I know you're just jealous that you weren't
right.
selected.
I mean, I know I could do a much better job.
Okay.
But
I'd like to see you try. I'd like to see you try.
All right.
How about that?
Okay. Maybe I'll make my own news section. Right? And then I'll show you how good it is. And then you'll be asking for forgiveness from.
Okay, man. I hope so. I really hope it goes well for you. Also, me and Jeremy, a couple weeks ago, I think the second weekend when this was out, Dune Part 2.
Right.
IMAX.
Right.
What did you think?
It was very loud.
Very loud.
Very,
But that's how I like it when I go to IMAX. Needs to be.
Right. I just like, it's like every scene you get flashbang, sound bang. It's like, it was so disorienting, but it was a great movie.
Yes.
I mean, the plot was, I thought it was a lot better than the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Some diehard Dune fans would disagree with me, but I mean, I'm more of an action guy. What can I say?
I think the good thing about this movie was it got straight into it. It didn't like spend time.
Didn't waste any time dilly-dallying.
Like that's what the first movie was supposed to do. This movie gets straight into it. You remember Paul, his mom, the Fremen, you know, they're waiting.
Right.
And the Harkonnen are showing up to kill him. Mm. That starts the movie.
Right.
So I think that was a great way to start it and differentiate itself from the first movie. And it was honestly easier to understand.
Like, yeah. I thought so.
Yeah, so it made it a more enjoyable experience.
Especially, we both, which I recommend, watch a recap video.
Oh, yeah.
Explaining all the details, because there was a lot of things that I missed.
Yeah, even me, like, I just went into it, no knowledge of Dune, the first movie. And I, like, you know, maybe got 60% of, like, okay, I probably understand it. And I watched some videos, and I was like, okay, this fully fleshes out, like, the whole story.
That was a good 20. Coming out of it.
Yeah. And then, it made the second one, like, amazing for me. And then I ended up watching it again because my brother wanted to go see it.
It was better the second time around?
Yeah, because just, like, it was really amazing. Like, you notice things, obviously, you didn't see the first time.
Right.
And you get to appreciate it more. And I thought the score, the music was perfect for this movie.
They did have some good soundtracks.
Yeah, Hans Zimmer, you know, he's always cooking. Yeah. Always cooking.
Always cooking. One of the greatest composers of our time, right. I would argue.
Yeah. So, yeah, me and Jeremy, we very much enjoyed it. And we highly recommend whenever, if you can't see it in theaters, catch it at home. Perfect. I wouldn't say perfect movie, but amazing movie.
It's a great story,
yeah,
I would say.
And then we got prom coming up.
Yep. Yep.
Can you talk about that, Jeremy?
The climax of the Jesuit upperclassman year.
Yeah.
Right. This is a pretty crazy dance.
Yeah, is it?
Right. Yeah, it's pretty official, pretty formal. You know, a lot of people wearing tuxedos, a lot of people wearing dress.
Yeah.
Sorry if you bring your student tie. You know, no, I doubt anyone's like outfit checking.
No. But yeah. Hope you guys have fun. We got the dates right here. Juniors are on Friday, April 26th at the Ridgeway of Old Metairie. 8 to 11. Lock in
at 9.
Mm-hmm. And then seniors are at Magnolia Event Hall at Elmwood Friday, May 3rd, same time.
Lock in at 9. Yeah,
lock in at 9. So I hope you have fun, Jeremy. Hope everyone has fun.
Right, yeah.
Stay safe.
Of course.
Yeah.
I'm going to be dancing the night away.
And then we had the solar eclipse.
Oh, buddy. Talk about exciting.
Oh, man. I love looking at the clouds and just...
Yeah, it turned out to be pretty anticlimactic for us over here in New Orleans.
Very much.
I remember, we couldn't even go outside with our classes, which it was a little bit of a bummer, but you could still look at the live stream.
Yeah.
But what I was a bit confused about was why everyone, I know it's a big deal, but people were talking about this is the greatest moment in their lives.
Yeah, I don't know. There's people that I get it. But, like, there's people that had, like that traveled all the way to, like, Dallas, Texas.
They went all the way to Texas. They spent all that money on a hotel room, food, traveling, just to see, like, over, you know,
Now, I'm glad that they enjoyed it. You know, I hope they, you know, they got filled.
Right. You know? Yeah.
But here, I mean, I was able to go out and check it out, you know, but I looked up. All I see is just gray clouds.
Just gray. I mean, it got a little bit like dimmer during the day, but that was about it.
Nothing much over here.
But yeah, I was listening to the news yesterday and like they had a little bit of, like that was what they were spamming, which is a bunch of solar eclipse stories. And they had maybe like three people come on and say how it was like spiritual to be there. Okay. Like their life was changed. And I mean, if that happened to you, I mean, I'm glad, you know, that you can have that sort of experience. But for me, I don't think I could ever let the sun in a rock to really enhance my spiritual life.
All right, that's going to wrap it for this week at Jesuit. It's time to get into the top three.
All right, welcome back to top three, huh?
Yeah, top three albums.
The segment of the podcast where we talk about our top three.
Yeah, I'm excited.
To the albums, yeah.
I'm excited about this one because I think music's a big part of my daily life.
We talked about it a little bit in Dr. Delio's class.
Oh, really?
How music reaches not only our body, but our soul.
Really? How'd you feel about that lesson?
I was like, wow, it felt like it touched my soul.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, wow, music really, it's pretty cool.
It's great in the gym. It just motivates me.
Yeah. Affects your mood, gets you pumped up. I mean,
yeah, it's nice. Yeah.
Anyway, on that note, we're going to talk about our favorite songs, our favorite albums. So without further ado, I guess I'll start.
Yeah, you start.
So number three would be Dookie by Green Day.
Oh, good one. I like Green Day.
Green Day.
So go into it. Why is that one number three?
It is the album that got me into Green Day. You know, I started listening to the song When I Come Around, and then Basket Case went crazy. And then I was like, maybe I should give this album a listen to. Mm-hmm. And then I kept on repeating and listening to it. And all over the summer on my ride for work, I'd just be jamming out to that. And, you know, I mean, I am kind of like a punk rocker, so it speaks to my soul.
That's good. Yeah. I really like Green Day, and I'm glad you gave him a shout out here on the podcast. Yeah, that was a good pick.
When I'm rejecting society and hiding in my room.
That you put that on.
I put that on. Express my feelings.
All right.
My second one would probably be Second Helping by Lynyrd Skynyrd. It's their second studio album, you know, right before a couple years before the big crash where tragically three of their members died. But
R.I.P.
they were really in the move. Like they were coming out. Mm-hmm. Like first song in the album, Sweet Home Alabama, instant classic. Some might say it's a bit overplayed. I would have to agree with that some. But every other song, it's great rock song, great southern rock. It puts you in the mood of just like wow, like I really like the area that I live in. Like you could relate to some of their songs because like you're here down in the south.
Yeah.
And it really, really speaks to you with the lyrics and you know, how they be jamming out on the guitars. And like it inspires me to go back to my guitar every now and then.
Yeah. I didn't even know that like some of their best songs are on the album. Like I just, you know, never really went over their album, but yeah, that's a good pick. I really like, and I agree. Yeah. It may be overplayed, but it's a good
song.
Vibe.
Yeah. If you give it to a listen, like if you go into it with a sober mind, if you go into it with a sober mind and re-listen to the entire album, you'll really start to appreciate the music.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll agree with me, I hope.
Yeah, I might have to give that a re-listen.
My top one would have to be The Wall by Pink Floyd. Yep, over last year, this is basically the only like songs I listened to. I mean, Pink Floyd were in their game, dude, when they made this album.
They were cooking, bro.
It's like music production is really hard to do. And the way that they formatted the album and to be kind of like a book. Mm-hmm. Like it's a story almost. And I think it perfectly displays of mental health in a person when you keep things bottled up inside and like what happens to you. And I think they displayed that perfectly while also still being like great songs.
Yeah.
Like you could jam out to it. Another Brick in the Wall, Comfortably Numb, just a few of the great songs on an album. Some might be screaming up and down right now because I didn't say Dark Side of the Moon, but yeah. I personally think The Wall is better than Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah, I always go back and forth with those two albums, but I just like, it's Pink Floyd, man. It doesn't even matter which one's your favorite. Like, even if like Wish You Were Here
right.
is your favorite album. Like,
yeah, that's a contender too.
Yeah, like I just think like Pink Floyd is just so good. Like, doesn't even, I don't care which one you put at number one, as long as you got Pink Floyd there. It's all good. So yeah, that was a really good top three.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now let's get into my top three. Now,
oh God,
I don't really listen to much rap usually. Not really my thing. But
you're not a real gangster.
No, I wouldn't consider myself that.
You know, you'd probably fool a couple of people.
but one album that really like caught my eye when I first listened to it. And it's always just been on repeat. It's always like found a way into the car. It's been Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City, which is his second studio album.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, this album, even though it's rap, I think it's just, I think every song is a banger. Like every song hits and you could just play it at night and it's a vibe, man. Like it's crazy. And thing with Kendrick Lamar, he's a really great storyteller.
Yes.
And his albums feel like movies, which I think sets him apart from other rappers, other artists, where if you play it from like start to finish, you just watch, it feels like you just watched a movie. But
right, yeah. And it's not like a lot of the singer-songwriters today when they're just throwing a bunch of words on the paper.
No.
Like I feel like he's really trying to convey a meaning, a message.
Yeah, you could tell he's taking his time like writing these songs. It's from the heart. And yeah, I think like songs like Money Trees, Poetic Justice, Swimming Pools, like there's so many songs on this album.
You feel like you can relate to them?
Not relate, but they're just, I don't know, they hit. They really like, you know,
it,
the production on them is amazing. Kendrick Lamar just does a great job. And yeah, again, I'm not one to comment on rap, you know.
It gets you pumped up. Yeah,
I'm not one to comment on it, but I know for sure that album, it's amazing.
That is a top three album. Yeah.
But I'm more of a 70s, 80s guy, you know, growing up. That's really what I got into from my dad, especially 80s. But number two is going to be Fleetwood Mac, Rumors, which is their 11th studio album. It came out in 1977.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Took them a while, huh?
But they've got a bunch of really good albums. But this one, I remember when I first listened to it, and I thought, that's pretty good. And then, every once in a while, I would just go back and re-listen to it. And recently, coming up for this episode, I went back and listened to it twice. And I was like really hooked.
Out.
It was really good. It was amazing. And, you know, famous, you know, songs like Dreams. Like people say, yeah, it might be over. Like, you know, TikTok took that over for like, I think, I remember in like 2020, something like that. But no, that song's a classic. And like The Chain. I don't know if you.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a good one.
Chain's amazing. It was also in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes. That's how I found it.
I was so happy when I heard that song in that. Because like I knew that song, but it amplified my love for that song. And Songbird's really good. There's just so many good songs on that album that I can't even describe. I think from top to bottom, that's an amazing album. I think everyone should give it a listen, especially if you love 70s music, 80s, anything like that. Fleetwood Mac has to be in rotation. Yeah, the production and the album is amazing. They did a great job. And yeah, it's just, I think that's number two for me as of right now. And then number one, Songs from the Big Chair by Tears for Fears, which is their second studio album.
Wow.
And wow, this album hits me.
Does it?
Yeah. I guess
speak to your soul?
Young age, you know, discovered Everybody Wants to Rule the World. And it's still like, I think I would say my favorite song of all time.
That is a good, yeah, that is a great song.
And I'm glad I don't really, you know, I don't like to hear it getting overplayed. I just like to enjoy it on my own.
You know, the Pelicans made a remix of that.
I don't want to hear that. Yeah. I did not want to hear that. Did they actually?
Yes, it's kind of funny.
When we went to the game, I heard that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no, I'm not. I don't like when there's remake. I just like to hear it the original way. Because it's my favorite song of all time. I do not want it to be.
Yeah, I remember you made a comment about it. You're like, oh, what is this?
Yeah. What are they doing? You're right, yeah. But yeah, songs like Shout, Head Over Heels. Oh my God, classics. Great especially songs. Like the interlude going into Head Over Heels is also really good. The Working Hours, really underrated. That's a really good song. It's only 8 songs. It's a quick listen.
Short and sweet. I mean, if you get a good album when you point across.
Yeah, Tears for Fears. I mean, there's a great story behind this album too. And the message that they're leaving off with certain songs, like, example, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. And Tears for Fears, amazing group. Always loved them since like I was young. And yeah, they have to be number one for me, no, regardless. And yeah, that's going to be my top 3. So yeah.
Pretty solid. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we both had some
we can both agree.
Unique top 3s. But yeah, guys.
Well, yeah, let us know what y'all think when you see us in the hallways. Debate us.
Yeah.
Let's see if our top 3s are actually horrible.
I'd like to hear your top 3s.
Yeah. Also. I want to hear someone's takes.
Yeah.
Talk about some music.
Yeah, comment down in the Blue Jay what your top 3s are. But yeah, I think that's it for this week's top. That's it for this episode's top 3. All right, it's time for the interview with Mr. Buisson, Mr. Noel, Mr. Jaskowitz. Welcome to the 10-Minute Break Podcast.
Thanks for having us on the 10-Minute Break Podcast.
It's great to be here.
Excellent to be here.
Yeah.
Very excited.
So
some of our listeners out there probably questioning or wondering, especially those who might not have your class. So why don't you go over a brief introduction about all of y'all.
Mm-hmm. I'm Mr. Jaskowitz. Right. I teach biology. I'm also plugged into the campus ministry side of things, as the three of us who are here. And then I am a assistant coach for the golf team. So those are like my official responsibilities here.
Great to have you on here, Coach.
Thanks for having me on here, Jeremy.
Right.
My name is Mr. Newell. I am also in campus ministry with Mr. Buisson and Mr. Jaskowitz. I teach English 3 and I also coach rugby.
Nice.
I'm Mr. Buisson. I am a theology teacher, and I'm also one of the track and cross country coaches and a campus ministry guy, along with these other fine gentlemen.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a great time here.
Sure, of coaches.
Yeah, I know. A lot of coaches. And a lot of you guys take a lot of responsibility. So how has it been so far this year, first year getting back to Jesuit?
Well, in the great words of Matt Furman, teaching is just so easy.
Yeah, the shock of responsibility, really just being in adult life, right? Because all of us have recently graduated college, and so we're fresh out of our degree or whatever. And so we're coming here trying to take on not even a full course load, it's 2 courses. That's a huge undertaking for somebody who hasn't done it before and who's not like an experienced teacher. It can be kind of funny because the rest of the faculty, they're so used to it. And so you start to feel like, what am I doing wrong? But the reality is just you're a first year teacher. And so just that first year teaching, even just the 2 courses is a whole bunch. And then you stack on the campus ministry stuff, which is mostly clerical. You get some talks here and whatnot. Buisson does kind of the administration side of things. But I think it started heavy and it's kind of remained near the heavy side of things as far as like responsibility, workload goes for the year.
Yeah, I'd say at the same time, it's a real blessing to be plugged into so many different aspects of the school. We get to see the faith aspect. We all of us coach sports and we're also in the classroom. So just building those different shades of relationships with students has been so cool to see all the different sides of Jesuit. And I think for all of us, it's made me more grateful for my experience here, both as a student and now being able to come back and serve.
Yeah. And if you weren't aware, listeners, I was being, in fact, facetious. Teaching is very difficult, along with the other things that we do here. It's definitely challenged us in a great way. But one of the other blessings of the program is that there's a lot of formation built in it for us. So every Tuesday night we have dinner with the Jesuits, and those men are just so wise beyond anything I could ever hope to be right now at this point in my life. But just to have so many good people around us to kind of mentor us, be role models. Each one of us has a mentor in the faculty, and we have prayer every day as a unit, and every week we meet to kind of just talk about how things are going on Wednesday nights. Among so many other things. There's just so much in it for us as well, in addition to being able to give back to the school.
I know Mr. Newell kind of touched upon the topic, but could y'all maybe give a brief over of your favorite moments, I guess, as a teacher in this year's ASC, and maybe even favorite moment at Jesuit made you want to come back?
For me, one of my favorite moments as a teacher was when, so I teach English 8, so we do a lot of grammar. But we finally got to get to our novel, and being able to talk about the novel and some of the students being like, you know, I actually really enjoyed this part of it. And we got to have a good discussion in class. I think that, like, as a student, I had those experiences too. And then being able to see that happen in my students was just like, it was so funny. Like, because when you take this job, you think, oh, I'm going to be a different kind of teacher. But then you just start to sound like a teacher as the year progresses. So I was really happy to see my kids stoked on a novel. It was awesome. One of my favorite moments as an ASC, I think that just, like, the more we've gotten ingrained in the community here, being able to walk around the halls, see my fellow ASCs, walk around and see the students that we've built all these relationships with and the faculty, like, over the course of the year, just being more deeply ingrained in the community has been like just like such a blessing. So I think whenever I get to see those relationships, we won a big rugby game, I think two weekends ago, and having built on all that momentum throughout the year and finally getting to produce in a win over St. Thomas was really exciting. So that's been one of my favorite moments this year.
Shout out rugby team.
Yeah, shout out.
Yeah,
shout
out.
I think the Jesuit dinners weekly are just every single one of them is my favorite moment of the year. There's just endless content from the Jesuits. They are the funniest humans on the planet. A special shout out to Father Anthony McGinn for just constantly being hilarious and sharing all of his old stories of what Jesuit was like for the last 40 years. I've had a lot of good moments with campus ministry and the classroom and track. I mean, we just won the district championship. And although I had very little role in that, just to watch the guys that I've gotten to know accomplish such great things has been so awesome. Just to even be a part of what they're doing and to have them be happy that we're proud of them. It's so, so cool.
Absolutely. I think obviously there's nothing that I remember like from being at Jesuit that attracted me to being an ASC here, because I didn't go here, but I went to a Jesuit high school, and I remember the impact that had on me. And I hear Father Kramer, who is my uncle, right? We can get that on recording. So just, Father Kramer, who is my uncle, he was talking about how great this place was. So I knew it was kind of a lot of the same. And favorite moments, I think passing period. If you're a teacher, you really have the opportunity to own passing period. You're high-fiving people, fist bumping people, yelling at people, bumping into people, throwing them in the lockers, shoving them in the lockers. Yeah, that's my favorite part. I like to throw
just
car
just bullying kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, you know, you brought it up. Probably you probably didn't enjoy like high school, but what made you come back to ASC? Even if you know you enjoyed Jesuit or not, like what made you want to come back, and what was the process of trying to be an ASC?
There's a level of integration within the high school that you don't get in the college campus. Right. So everything here is very structured. There's not as many people, depending on what college you're going to go to, but there's not as many students that you need to know in the high school, right, to really feel like super integrated, right? Because you know everybody's names, at least in your class, right? And so college, you're kind of lacking that. I kind of felt like I lacked that for about 4 years. And so looking at things that I could do after college that maybe would give me that sense of community, yes, number one, but also secondly, Christ-centered community, I knew that a place like this, a Jesuit high school, could provide that for me. And so that was probably the biggest motivator for me to apply to an ASC program. And this one was just one of them.
I think for me, when I got to college, you know, you grow in maturity a bit. I had a kind of a reversion of my faith when I was in college, and just building on a lot of positive aspects from school, I saw how I could bring that back to Jesuit and try to get the most out of it and serve. So whether it be in the classroom, like coaching, or in ministry, those are all just things that I wish that I had more of when I was a student here. And this seemed like a great opportunity to bring that to students who go here. And then also just like it, the further away you get from it, once you graduate, the more you talk about you, the more you run into guys from your class and you're like, man, that Jesuit really prepared me for life. Mm-hmm. And the more grateful you are for it, you know? So just having that experience too in college, like getting to those first classes and being like, oh wow, like they did a really great job in high school. And it's so funny saying that after going through it for those 5 years and being like, oh man, I'm getting tired of it, you know, to get to college,
right?
Yeah. To get to college after the grind and realizing how it paid off, made me want to come back and serve because I felt so grateful for it.
I would echo Mr. Newell's sentiment 1,000 times. Just, I came out of Jesuit liking it, being generally positive in my feelings, but just through college, in numerous ways, I just realized that place changed my life. That was their tagline for years when I was there, and I always thought it was kind of corny, but they were right. And it just, yeah, I mean, just the faith and the discipline and the the community, the friendships, all those things just stick with you and matter so much more years down the line. And I was just grateful.
We kind of get into a little bit into what it's like being ASC. So I know the living situation's a bit different, I guess. Y'all live here on campus, right? Or yes. Around the area?
Yes, in the cafeteria.
Yeah. No. I'm at the steps of the Roussel building. Okay. I have to clean up every day. No, so there's two houses, and one of them, three of us live in, the other one, two of us live in. And so in one of them, it's myself, Mr. J, Mr. Buisson, and Mr. Roy, and then Mr. Newell and Mr. Rice are in the other house. Very close to campus, very super close to campus. But other than that, like you're proximate to campus, which is super convenient, but we kind of do normal house things, like go get groceries. Like, it's not like we have like the cafeteria people like giving us our food or anything like that. Right. So we live like basically separate from the campus other than we're on the campus. Yeah. Do you guys have anything else to say about that?
Yeah. If you want to just talk more about the community life, we do community dinners, 2 times a week with just the ASC guys. So we'll cook for each other. Like Mr. Buisson mentioned, we go to dinner with the Jesuits on Tuesday nights. And then aside from that, we're also have an ASC prayer period every day. So we have a 15-minute time slot that we all pray together in the second floor chapel. Is there anything else you wanted to mention, Mr. Buisson?
We've had a few kind of faculty get-togethers also.
Oh, that's right.
Kind of the idea with the house too, is that it's got this cool backyard. Mm-hmm. It's a nice big house. And so once a quarter, we'll do something with the faculty. We did a crawfish boil and we did a oyster kind of cookout. It was really fun.
Nice.
Yeah. What's your check?
Yeah.
Who makes the best community meals of the five of us?
It's got to be Mr. Rice.
how convenient.
His meals are the definition of convenient. Yeah.
He's the executive chef at Theo's Pizza Kitchen.
Really?
Anyway,
moving
on.
Yeah, so how is, like, you've mentioned it, how has your prayer life increased as, you know, joining ASC? And go into that.
I think that a big part of becoming an ASC out of college is you're just taking on more responsibilities. And with those more responsibilities, you need to find a consistency in prayer. In college, your schedule is very irregular. So your classes are kind of all over the place from semester to semester, spaced out through different times in the day. And then, you know, you're doing different activities after school or on the weekends, depending from week to week. When you get into a more professional environment, and Jesuit sets us up with this, you have a more consistency in prayer. So from day to day, you're praying the same amount of time, regardless of how the prayer is. So you might be like just locked in, having a great prayer period, or you might be experiencing really dry prayer. When I was in college, if I was experiencing that dry prayer, I might not stick around in the chapel as much as I would have if I was having a really great prayer experience. Here as an adult, like you need, you're there. And so you're going to get what you can out of it, even if it's dry. And there's so much grace that comes from that. And that's been a real blessing for us that the school has set that up for us and built that into us. Also, there's just such a great community in the faculty of Faithful, where there's adoration every Thursday and there's daily mass every morning. And the faculty really show out for that in a way that I didn't recognize as a student. So to have that community here as well has been a real blessing. Whereas college, I think as a young person, sometimes, you know, there are great communities, but you also feel like very responsible for fighting that battle by yourself. And here there's been such a great community. So those are the two big differences, I think, are consistency and community.
Mm-hmm. So the students too. Interactions with the students have absolutely increased my faith and the way that I pray. Just to watch them already be so faithful. I mean, I look back to myself in high school and just like, these guys are very inspiring to me. Some of these senior leaders, especially guys leading Kairos, I just got to go on the senior silent retreat with some guys, and there was just really like such great things moving in these guys' hearts going forward into college and beyond. And yeah, that's just really inspiring to see as a teacher. It makes you want to be better for them, to try and lead them since they're already just in such a good spot.
Yeah. Mr. Buisson, you reminded me, like, you brought up the point that students kind of speak for, or God speaks to the students oftentimes. I don't really think I understood. When I learned to pray in college, it was through the Newman Center at Mizzou. Focus missionaries were teaching me. Basically, they got their whole spiel, and they tell you some things about prayer. And one of the most important parts is your ability to listen to the Lord. And my previous perception of that was that I just kind of sit silently in prayer and wait for a movement of the heart or a movement of the mind. But now it's become so much clearer that that might be half of it or even less than that. Most of the listening to God part happens, like, for me in the classroom or interactions with students. Absolutely. They're Jesus for me most of the time.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you all for coming on to the 10-Minute Break podcast. It was a pleasure to have y'all here. And
yeah, if you want to leave off with something.
Right. Real quick. Any final thoughts?
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention that Mr. Rice walked in here and saw us doing the podcast and then peaced out.
He could have joined.
He's not going to live that one down.
No, he's missing out.
I'll give a big shout out to Jair Burks for winning the 110 meter hurdle regional race, and to Duke Nitcher. And who's our other golfer that qualified for state yesterday?
Will Boesberg.
And Will Boesberg. Shout out to the golfers and the trackers.
Sweet.
I just want to say, if you're listening to this and you're thinking about doing ASC, do it, because it's a great opportunity and you'll never have anything like this for the rest of your life to be able to do something like this and serve a community like this.
All right.
Sweet. AMDG.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, Jays. Appreciate you guys for coming by.
Yeah. Thank you for having us on.
Appreciate it.
All right. What'd you think of that interview?
I thought it was a pretty great interview. I mean, I loved having those three on. They're really fun people.
No, yeah, it was like, you know, it was great to like see like people coming straight out of college and just taking on this huge responsibility.
Right. It was great having them around to talk to.
Yeah, I really liked seeing what their views were and how they approached this year and what they got out of it. So yeah, I think there's a lot to learn. Yeah, I really enjoyed the interview. It was really just chill and yeah.
I agree, yeah.
Yeah.
So this concludes our penultimate episode
of
season 5 of the 10-Minute Break podcast. It's a bit bittersweet.
Yes. So yeah, this is going to be episode 8 will be the final one.
Which, right.
Yeah. Dreading filming that one.
But yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
We'll give our final thoughts on everything we do with the podcast and what we hope to see in the future.
Right.
But yeah, anyway, we don't want to end it off on the somber note. So.
No, yeah.
Have a good week, and we'll see you all in the next episode. Yeah.